Welcome to another episode of Romance Romp. I'm your host, Keeney Allen. So today I'm joined by Sarah, from Frolic Media. So thank you so much for joining me, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, sure, you're welcome. So first, I always like to get to know a little bit about my guests as readers. So can you tell me how you started reading romance?
Absolutely. So I come from a big reading family, and I've always just been a voracious reader. And, the first series that I really got hooked into as like a preteen was the Redwall series by Brian Jacks. Not really a romance. It's like talking animals and this universe where these animals have all this drama going on in their lives. But it really set me sort of on this path of sort of, you know, fantasy and make believe and just sort of like a universe building. And from there, I really got into the writing of Isabel Allende and Barbara Kingsolver. And I was a literature major in college. And of course, you know, sort of loved the classics like Jane Eyre and Pride and Prejudice. Mm-hmm. And then I really started getting into, you know, true romance. Sarah McLean was probably my like big introduction to true romance. And that just really sort of started me on this whole romance journey to where I am today.
Sure. So what is it about romance that you like and keeps you reading?
Yeah, so for me, it's really about knowing that I can relax into the story because I know there's going to be that HEA. So for me, I have a pretty chaotic life running a company. I have a 3.5-year-old. I live in LA. And, you know, I'm always busy. And I just like that moment of peace and quiet when I just open a new book and I get sucked into the world of the characters, and but I know that they're going to get together at the end. That for me is just so comforting, and it's so optimistic, and I just love getting kind of like pulled into those worlds and really sucked in, and you can get sucked in so much more quickly in romance, I feel, than other genres.
No, I agree. And I think that there's something very comforting, at least for myself. I can't speak for all readers and a lot of people that I've talked to, though. But there is something very comforting that, you know, when you pick up a romance, like, obviously the stories are very different. Each story is very different and the character arcs and the journey. But, you know, like, you're going to have a couple, they're going to get together, they're maybe going to go through some things, they're going to figure it out, and at the end, they're going to be happily ever after. You know, so there is a level of predictability, but it allows you to kind of relax into it and not be super stressed out, like, well, are they going to end up together? Is she going to find a mate? Or he going to find a mate? Or whatever. Like, you kind of know.
Exactly. And I love that.
Yeah.
Like, and I also just love, for me, you know, look, the world is crazy. Mm-hmm. And I love the optimism and sort of the, you know, you especially, and we'll get into this, but like, I really love historical because there's always this added, like, how are they going to get together? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know they are, but I don't know how. And that's like the fun of the journey.
Sure. That's interesting. Well, you mentioned like you really like historical, and I saw Sarah McLean speak last year at the Baltimore Book Festival. It was like Sarah McLean, Maya Rodale, Catherine Ash, and somebody else whose name is escaping me right now. But they talked about why they like to write historical. And one of the things was because they feel like in contemporary society, it's hard to write like how to keep a couple apart, you know, because like in contemporary, there's no like rules or laws against it. Like you can do pretty much whatever you want. But in historical, it's a little bit easier to have like a conflict or a reason why they shouldn't be together and then make them be together.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what I love. And I love, and again, we'll kind of get into this, mm-hmm. but I just read a Cat Sebastian novel that, you know, was an MM historical. And I loved that like added sort of how are they going to make this work and mm-hmm. how do they, you know, that added level of sort of real danger, mm-hmm. frankly.
Yeah.
So I really like that.
So historical is a subgenre that you really like. Are there any other subgenres that you're really drawn to?
Yeah, I do like contemporary. I like anything also that has sort of a light magical element to it. So, for example, Rain Shadow Road by Lisa Claypass, I really love that. Or any of the sort of Paranoras, the Nora Roberts that have sort of like witchy elements, but it's not full blown paranormal.
Have you ever read Laura Florand?
No, I haven't.
So she writes these stories. They're, I can't remember what it's called. It's about like chocolate and Paris, but the very first one, it kind of had like a very light magical element, because like they make like this really decadent hot chocolate, and it's like the heroine, she lives with her two aunts and they run this little shop together. And so they believe like it kind of has like this, it'll draw your intended mate in or something like that when you drink the hot chocolate. Of course, like all of it's escaping me right now, but it definitely has like this light magical, and the romance in it is fantastic, and the whole series is great, and I highly recommend it.
Wait, so what's it called again?
Well, the author's name is Laura Florand, and
Okay.
it's like her
I'll look
chocolate
it up.
series, and it's like a blue cover, and I
And
think has like the Eiffel Tower on it.
okay.
So these are the
Yeah,
things I can remember.
anything that has like delicious food in it too, I sign me up.
Yeah.
Like I love, and that's another thing about historical, like the food descriptions are usually so just delicious and I love that. Any like cakes or tarts or hot chocolate or like I'm all about it.
Yeah, and it's just such a different time, historical, so that's always fun too. But so are there any tropes that are kind of your favorite?
Yeah, I do love the secret romance. So I mentioned the Soldier Scoundrel book by Kat Sebastian. So anytime that they have to sort of run around and hide and be secret about their romance, I love that. And then I also, similar vein, but I also love the sort of fake marriage relationship that turns to love. Like the book that I'm thinking of is like Cinderella Deal by Jennifer Frusey. That where there's like this fake marriage that turns into something real. Marriage of convenience, that I love those.
Yes, fake relationship is one of my absolute favorite tropes because on the outset it's so ridiculous, right? Like this is never gonna work.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like this doesn't happen
Happened.
in real life. But just the way it always works out in romance is just amazing to me. And I just finished, I'm not sure if you've ever heard of or read Kate Claiborne.
I've heard of her, but I haven't read her.
Okay, so her second book just came out. It's called Luck of the Draw, and it's a fake relationship, and the hero and heroine are so incredibly broken and sad. He's lost his brother. He's really like in the midst of that grief still. It's fantastic. I was like an A plus. Kate has ruined me, and how they and they're kind of like enemies a little bit because she was a settlement attorney that helped settle the like her brother's claim of death or whatever. He overdosed on like some sort of pharmaceutical. And so they should be enemies, and they're immediately drawn to each other. And he's like a caretaker. She faints. He picks her up. It was just wonderful.
That sounds like catnip for me.
Yeah.
That's perfect. I
Yeah.
also love the sort of like they don't really like each other at first. The sort of not pure enemies, but sort of the we don't like each other at first. Like Melanie Harlow's After You Fall. Like they really didn't like each other, and
Yes. Yes.
then the attraction when they realize they actually like each other is so strong. I
Right,
love that.
exactly. Yeah, and he's like grumpy and like shy, and he just doesn't know what to do with her, and I'm telling you, it was just beautiful. I will
Oh.
say, like if anybody's listening, and I did a review for this also, like if you have a trigger warning or a content warning around like surrounding like death or deceased parents or deceased family members, it probably isn't for you. But if those things don't bother you, it's a fantastic book.
Great. I will definitely check that
Yeah.
out.
Okay, fantastic. So, is there anything that you're reading now that you'd be willing to talk about?
Yeah, so well, I stayed up very late last night, even though I'm sick, finishing Seafarer's Kiss by Julia Ember. Have you heard
Okay.
of this book?
I have not. What is it called?
Seafarer's Kiss.
Okay.
It is a BFF YA mermaid romance that
Okay.
I absolutely loved.
Okay.
It was not a normal genre for me, but it was, light loosely has some elements of Little Mermaid, but the Ariel type character falls in love with a human who's female, and sort of the journey to, to make that work, which again is sort of like, how is this going to work?
Right.
But I really liked it. Like she, the heroine is, she talks about like her rolls of fat because she's under the sea, and like that's something that that like the mermaids who are sort of the more voluptuous mermaids are the more fertile and sexy ones, and it was really interesting.
Okay.
And the cover is beautiful, like just amazing.
Yeah. I think now that you're talking about it, I definitely have seen it being talked about on Twitter. I hardly ever read YA,
Yeah, me
but
neither.
it sounds really good, so I feel like I'm going to give it an opportunity. I did read last year When Dimple Met Rishi, and
Oh, tongue.
that was fantastic. So I'm willing to
Yeah, I'm
bend my
finding this
rules on
is
YA.
interesting to feel super YA because like the angst, like the I don't know, the sort of that's not like in high school and they're talking about like getting married, and it's interesting because there's sort of roles in the mermaid kingdom that are somewhat, animalistic but somewhat human, and it's very the one thing I'll say though is they do like a lot of descriptions of food,
Okay.
but they're like disgusting. That's the only thing I'm like shark fin, she's trying to make it sound good, but it's like shark fin dusted with crab juice, and you're like, what? No,
Yeah.
I don't think I needed that description of
Do not want. No.
I'm like, hot chocolate, yes.
Yeah.
Shark fin, no. I'll take a pass on that one,
Yeah, that's
but it
okay.
was other than that, it was quite delightful.
That sounds fantastic. I'll definitely look for
And I think
that.
that there's, I just actually saw this morning like a big discussion going on in sort of romance Twitter that was about sort of the lack of female books and sort of the importance of those. And so I found it very, it was a good time to talk about this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I was going to mention that. So, of all the episodes I've done, 30 some plus or minus, whenever I ask like what they're reading, you are the first person to have mentioned that you just finished reading a female book. And that's something definitely that is underrepresented in Romance Landia. And so that's a great recommendation for some of my listeners, or all my listeners really, that are interested in that. And I know for
And I
my
would love more. I really enjoyed it. So if anybody has more suggestions, I'd love
Yeah,
to read more.
me too. And it's definitely, I've talked about this. I'm definitely trying to, as a reader, read more diversely, like on every spectrum, like not just in regards to like race or characters, but like the different types of love stories, whether it be male, male, female, female, or male, female together, whatever have you. So, I'm always looking for more recommendations.
Absolutely, me
Yeah,
too.
yeah.
And then I also just finished The Duchess Wars by Courtney Milan, which was just
Oh, okay. Yeah.
it was so wonderful. I love her, and this one was it like hit all of the notes for me.
Oh, did it?
It was sort of, the enemies to lovers and the how are they going to make this work, and it was delightful. So
That sounds fantastic. Courtney Milan is always well recommended in historical. I've read a couple of her contemporaries. But as is the plight of every romance reader, I have approximately 1 million books to be read.
Yes,
Yeah.
it is such a challenge. I'm like, how are I'm the thing I'm the most excited about for my flight to France on Sunday is I told my husband, I'm like, don't talk to me the whole flight. Like, I'm gonna try and read two books on our flight.
That's fantastic. How long is the flight?
It's quite long. I think it's like 11
Oh
hours.
yeah, easily two books can be taken care of in
Yeah,
that. Yeah. I
was
Yeah.
like, I don't, okay, we have a 3-year-old too. I'm like, I never, I'm always reading like, like little bits and pieces. And so like an 11-hour stretch of uninterrupted reading time is, I'm going to be in heaven.
Yeah, I can imagine. So are there any books coming out that you're aware of that you're really looking forward to?
Well, I am, this is already out, but I just started The Wedding Date last night and I'm very excited. I know that's been a popular one, so I'm very excited to read that. There is a new Nora Roberts coming out this month, Shelter in Place, that I'm excited about. And then this is just news of books that are going to be written, but Alicia Rye has 3 more books coming out and I'm very excited. She's a Frolic contributor for us, and I'm obviously a huge fan of hers. I
Yes.
read the Forbidden Heart series. She wrote an amazing piece for us about Magic Mike XXL and toxic masculinity. And so she announced that she's going to have 3 more books that are not in the Forbidden Heart series, but have, sort of pick up with adjacent characters and are set in California. And I like literally squealed when I saw it on my Twitter feed.
That's
I'm very
amazing. Yeah, I saw that recently that she was doing like another 3-book series, and I read the first two in that Forbidden Heart series, and they were good. But that trope of like the forbidden love or the star-crossed, like that Romeo and Juliet type of thing, it just doesn't work for me. But the story
Yeah.
themselves, they were fantastic. But I was just kind of like meh about it. But I know going in that that trope doesn't work for me. But I read that her book a while back, I think it was A Gentleman in the Streets. And at the time, I wasn't like an out reader of romance, just like some of my friends kind of casually knew. And I wasn't really like involved in romance Twitter or whatever. And I tried to make like 4 of my friends read that book, and no one would. But I'm like, it's so good.
I just think her writing is so
It's
wonderful. And
amazing.
I like her characters. Yeah, I think like the characters are what really draw me in for her too. And like the sort of American dynasty. We just see a
Yes.
lot of that. So
Yeah,
she likes
and just her writing is, it's very rich. It's just so, yeah, I do really enjoy the stories that she tells. Just that one little trope issue for
The trope,
me.
yeah.
Yeah, but and that's okay. But no, when the next one comes out, I definitely will be like stalking it, like on, I think she writes for Avon, so all her stories are always on Edelweiss, but that's a conversation for another day. Yeah, and that I've heard her talk about Magic Mike before, and honestly, her talking about it made me want to watch the second one because when the first one came out, it was just like, okay, whatever. And so the second one, I was like, I mean, it was kind of cheesy and kind of not great. The first one, and I was like, I don't think I'm really going to make a point to see the second one. It's whatever. But because I saw her talking about it and how feminist driven it was, and I don't know if they intended it to be that way, but that's how it came out. I was like, I definitely have to watch this. And it was so good.
I know. It's so good, and I love her passion about it
Yes. Yeah.
is just wonderful.
I mean, it is a little silly and a little contrived, but still, like the overall arching theme of like about women's pleasure. And we just don't see that hardly ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Absolutely. I
it's.
know. I thought it's very underrated.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So we're going to take a quick pause to hear a message from our sponsor. But when we get back, I'll be talking to Sarah more specifically about Frolic. Wonder Book and Video connects over 2 million books with readers each year and has been serving book lovers for over 35 years. With locations in Frederick, Hagerstown, and Gaithersburg, Maryland, Wonder Book and Video is the only place you'll ever need to find your next read. And yes, Wonder Book and Video has a huge variety of romance novels from which to choose. Can't find something in the store? Check out wonderbook.com to get 15% off your next romance novel purchase in store or online with promo code ROMROMP. That's ROMROMP. Wonder Book and Video, a book lover's paradise. Great, so thank you for that. So before the break, we were talking more about your experiences as a reader of romance. So can you tell me about Frolic, like what it is, how it came to be?
Absolutely. So Frolic is really, it's a new destination, and we're celebrating all things romance and pop culture. So I started it with a woman named Lisa Berger, who's my co-founder, and she's amazing. She ran E! For many years. She was at MTV and ABC and sort of has that traditional media mind. And my background is really all in digital and sort of building digital companies. And, you know, we were the creators behind the series Confess, where we turned Colleen Hoover's book Confess into a mini series on Go 90. And, you know, after that experience, we really recognized that there was a need for the romance community to really have a destination that had really high quality content, a place to, you know, hear from the bloggers and the authors that they love in a different context, and sort of exclusive content and really a place to come together as a community. So that's really what we set out to build. You know, we're only a couple months old, but we work very closely with Bea and Leah from The Rip Bodice and Sarah Wendell from Smart Bitches. They're on our advisory board. And then we had, you know, some really incredible authors like Chanel Clayton and Alicia Rye and Taylor Jenkins Reid and Alyssa Cole could contribute to the site. And so, you know, right now we're sort of in our infancy and we're really focusing on just building up that great database of content. Mostly right now it's articles, but we're also doing some short form video. Like we just did a really fun video that was like why all the heroes from the Avengers make up our perfect man. And it was like a little wink and a nod. We're doing some recipes from romance novels, and you know we're really focusing on just building and growing that community around what we're doing, and you know been wonderful so far.
It
And
sounds fantastic, and I've looked at the site. It looks great. When I first saw like one of your things either on Twitter or Facebook, I can't remember, I was really excited because as a romance reader and part of this community, I think sometimes like well, because it exists all over the place. Like it exists on Twitter, it exists on Facebook. It's different in each spot. Of course, there's tons of review blogs. There's tons of sites, but there's nothing that's really like dedicated. There's no one true site other than like Smart Bitches or Dear Author or some of the big name sites. I mean, there's a lot of content there, but it's really re review driven.
Yes,
Which is fine, and that's
exactly.
great. But that's all it is.
That's right. And I think that we did notice that the community was very disparate. You know, there's a lot of content being produced in a lot of different places, and if we can sort of harness all of that and sort of centralize it, I think that everybody can win in that scenario. And you know we do we you know we recognize that there are people who are just like Sarah Wendell and her team, like they're so good at book reviews and their cover snark and all the great series that they do. And so we wanted to complement that with really op-ed pieces, really commentary on the romance culture, community, how we're driving conversation, how it intersects with pop culture, and really just like bring that conversation up into the forefront.
I mean, and I think lots of sites are starting to recognize romance, the community as like a legitimate community. Like BuzzFeed just had an article, a fantastic article about Alyssa Cole and the
That
team
was
at
so fun.
Kensington. It was fantastic. And Bustle has done some articles and Jezebel and stuff like that. And that's great. It's great to see that representation. But it's also fantastic to know that there's a site that's it's going to be kind of all of that. Romance, pop culture, all the things that we're all kind of into.
No, and that's the thing. Like, it sort of pops up here and there on all those sites you mentioned, but no one's really dedicated to it. And so we saw that that was an opportunity, and embraced it. And it's been wonderful so far. This is just such a fantastic community, and we have a really big vision for it.
Oh,
So
that's
we're
fantastic.
excited to, yeah, we're really excited to see where we can take it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where you guys can take it as well. And I definitely think over the last couple of years, there's been like an emergence of romance as like a legitimate form of media. I mean, we obviously knew it was legitimate and it was here. We,
Yeah,
as part of the
absolutely.
community, but to kind of see that, kind of validated outside of the community is fantastic too, with stuff like, being on BuzzFeed, for example, or having a new site that's dedicated to it.
Yeah, I think in that piece, I think it was Alyssa Cole who said, like, a lot of writers say, I'm not trying to write the next great American novel. And she was like, well, that's your problem, And I think that really encapsulates that the spirit of sort of this next wave of how people are interacting with romance as a genre, because it is, it's like, oh, I don't, that idea of like reading romance, well, it's not real literature. Or I hear sometimes people be like, oh, well, I have to balance out like my romance reading with like actual literature. And I'm like, what are you talking? I don't know what are you talking about? Like, the fact that romance readers, I mean, are we're reading 10, 20, 30 times more than the average reader. And to sort of, discount it as not real literature, I think is a real problem both within and on the outside of the community.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the more we talk about it, like we specifically people that, I have no issue with saying I read 98% romance genre.
Yeah,
Like it's just who I am.
same.
It makes me happy. It's what I enjoy. I have no issues with it. And the more people, come to terms with like with ourselves, then it's easier for other people to say the same, I think. Or when it's reinforced, when it's on BuzzFeed, or there's a new site, Frolic, devoted to it. And, or, you're looking at sites like Smart Bitches, where Sarah and her team, like you said, I mean, they're fantastic, they're amazing, and, they're all smart and, just amazing women. And then The Ripped Bodice, where now there's a bookstore devoted completely to romance. Like, I think slowly over time, everybody will, inside and outside, will kind of just be like, yep, that's how it is.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. Yeah.
So one thing that I noticed on your site and a couple bloggers, and you had mentioned you had Alicia Rye write an article for you. And I think Syl from the Book Voyagers, I saw her do an article for you guys. And just like briefly, why it's important to have diverse contributors and diverse romance, and how it's important to Frolic.
Yeah, I think it's really part of our DNA, and it's something that we're both very intentional about, and it also just happens that way for us because it's what we like to read, and so it's a reflection of who we gravitate towards and who we like and where we see the community, the conversations in the community going. That there's a saying like if you can't be it if you can't see it, and really stands out for me in terms of the importance of inclusion and diversity. We were talking earlier, it's not just about race. That's a really big part of it, but it is about sexual orientation and gender identities and body size, and all of that. And look, I think everyone deserves their happily ever after, and I think that's a And that's been reflected in all of these conversations. And people fall in love in all kinds of circumstances. And I know, Courtney Milan has been a really big voice in saying there weren't just dukes, and there weren't really that many dukes. Like, we like to suspend our disbelief around like all these dukes falling in love with the maids. Why can't we have historical novels, Regency novels that aren't just straight white people characters? And that's not what the world was. And I think it's really important that there's some level of historical accuracy, that we're not spooked by it. I think, you know, Kat Spashin has done a great job with the historical male. And I think that we need, you know, romance authors are continuing to push the boundaries. And what's so wonderful is that because they are able to write so quickly and release so many books, I think that romance tends to be on the forefront of the sort of shifting national conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so where it takes, you know, other genres a long time to sort of catch up, we're already seeing, you know, I remember reading, you know, Tessa Dare's Duchess Deal, and it was like, we, you know, she was sprinkling in like, nevertheless, she persisted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, already you start seeing these sort of themes emerge in romance. And I think that's really important. And I think it's wonderful to see this community really self-reflect and mm-hmm. examine itself. I think there's a long way to go. You know, I don't think it's all like, let's pat ourselves on the back because we're talking about it. I think that, you know, and that BuzzFeed piece you're mentioning, it's, you know, there are the sort of vast majority of editors and marketers and distributors and publishers and everyone who touches a book from start to finish, if they're all white,
mm-hmm.
that's a problem. You know, it just is.
It is. Yeah. And I definitely think that, like, right, romance, we're not perfect. We have a long way to go. But I love seeing the conversation happen and all the self-reflection, you know, with the readers I follow. I follow a lot of reviewers, too, you know, that are where we want to be better. And sometimes it's hard to know that we're not doing better. I mean, like that... the Rip Bodice, the survey that they've been doing. So it's hard to know how to get better if you can't see how poorly you've been doing.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's so, you know, I agree with you. Like the fact that most people in the community are willing to have the conversation and have it publicly
mm-hmm.
and reflect on their previous work. I mean, there was the whole thing with Lisa Claypath and republishing her book and, you know, Smart Bitches sort of calling out an element of her book. That was a really powerful moment for all of us.
Super powerful. And I think it goes to show that, like, a Lisa Claypath or like a big author, I mean, she carries a huge name with her, right? Like, she can say something's wrong in this book and I want to change it. Right.
Yeah.
Like, as opposed to just being like, you know, maybe next time I'll do differently. Like, I mean, that was a really powerful moment. And, you know, so, I mean, and it's good. And of course, we'll always, always have room for growth on all sorts of different things. But without having the conversations, without being intentional about things, like, we can't change anything. You know, so I'm glad to be a part of that. So,
yeah. Likewise, it's encouraging.
It is.
You know, like publishing, mm-hmm. frankly, it needs to sort of innovate a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a nice sort of put your feet to the fire.
Right.
In a space where you can be a little more innovative.
Yeah, I agree. So what's next for Frolic?
Well, we are headed up to Reno for RT.
Mm.
So we are headed up to Reno for RT. We are sponsoring a booth at the opening night party, which will be very fun. We know it's sort of one of the smaller years that they've had, but, you know, it's a good chance for us to really get into and meet some fans mm-hmm. and introduce them to Frolic if they don't know about us. So that's a big focus of ours right now. And then we're going to have some really great videos coming out soon. So I definitely stay tuned. We have some great food videos coming out. And we also have some really wonderful articles forthcoming. And we have started a series on our Instagram stories called Cup of Coffee With.
Okay.
And we send different bookstagrammers, authors, people in the community questions, and they answer them drinking a cup of coffee. So, you know, follow us on Instagram and Twitter on Frolic. And we have some really great people coming up with a cup of coffee. So
That's fantastic. I will definitely look for that. When I get back to my desk, I'm definitely following you on Instagram if I'm not already. Well, one of the things I was going to ask was events, because you had mentioned like community, and I know sometimes that's really important to feel like you're part of a community is to actually sometimes, meet face to face.
Yes.
So that's good to know that you'll be at RT, and hopefully as it grows, maybe you'll be at some other things too. So,
Definitely.
yeah.
We are sort of figuring out our RWA strategy right now, and then we also, we have some exciting potential things in the works for more in-person stuff with us as well. So
That's
stay tuned for all of
fantastic.
that.
Absolutely, I will stay tuned. Okay, so one of the things I wrote down because I want to make sure to ask this. So you mentioned that you had Chanel Cleeton do like some contributing or something.
Yeah.
Have you read Next Year in Havana?
Yes.
Okay. I love that book so much.
I love it so much. So, like, I first of all, the cover is just
Right?
I was speechless. I was like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And then the writing was, I mean, she's so lovely. And so I read that and then I was like, I'm obsessed with her. We have to like track her down. And so her piece is actually about sort of some of the inspiration for the book and some of the stuff, the stories she heard growing up. And oh, I just absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for the next one.
So I'm so excited for the next one. I'm like stalking her social media and stuff to wait for when she says like bloggers can get like the ARC or request it. 'Cause I'm
I
gonna be
know.
all over that. And I
Me
just,
too.
and it's wonderful because that book came out in February. And it's historical fiction for somebody who's listening and isn't familiar, but it definitely has a romance in it, and it goes back and forth from current day to the past. And just the way I'd only read like two of her contemporary romances, which were great. One of them is actually one of my favorites, but just the story in this and the way she depicts Cuba, past and current. And just everything about the book. But like I said, so it came out in February, and I'm like, this book has pretty much ruined me for the rest of the year. Like,
Yeah, she's the you're right. It is historical fiction, but it does, there's some nice romantic elements to it. And I am such a sucker for any sort of multi-generational. If you're switching between, the 50s and now, like, I'm sold. I don't even need to hear anymore. I'll read it. And she just the food and the description of Cuba, and it was very like rich and beautiful and made me want to go there.
Same.
But also it was very well researched. Like, I learned so much that I didn't know. I knew like the basics, but it was very well researched and went into a lot of the sort of very complicated path that Cuba has.
Yeah, but it still was like, I mean, I just loved every moment of it. And yeah, so.
It was definitely one of those books that I was so sad to be done with. I needed more.
Yeah, I'm like, it's over now. Now I have to wait until 2019.
I know.
Why? No, but so that's amazing. I'm glad. It seems like we have a lot of very similar reading and things that we kind of like latch on to. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
definitely. We'll have to share our reading list with each other
Yes.
because
Yes.
not
Okay.
that we need more books to read,
No,
but
I know. I was just telling somebody earlier on Twitter because we're doing that hashtag rom book love. And I'm like, it's like the best and the worst thing to happen ever, right? Like, I love listening to book, I mean, listening to or seeing other people talk about books and conversations and stuff like that. But it just kills my TBR. Like, just kills it.
it's so unwieldy. I know. I'm like, there's never enough time.
Never. If only we didn't have to do things like work and,
Right.
spend time with family, all
I
those
know.
things that are those
Yeah, all those
pesky.
pesky
Yeah.
life things.
Just keep me from my books, why don't you? No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, and then we're forced to do things like stay up all night and read.
I know, my God, when we're sick.
Right,
I'm like,
exactly.
oh.
I mean, there are
But
worse
have
things in
you? I
life.
just discovered this app, Libby.
Yes.
Do you know this? Okay. I mean, not I ha I've had it for a while, but I just started using it. It is amazing. I'm like, this
Yeah, I also use Hoopla Digital a lot. I don't know if your library has it.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, but it's attached to the library card, and I'm lucky enough that my library lets me have 10 downloads a month. So I
Oh
use
my
it a
God.
lot for like audiobooks or
Yeah.
backlist. Yeah,
But I'm
let's.
also such a sucker for, like, I need the actual physical book, especially
Oh.
if it's a beautiful cover.
Yeah, I picked up the Chanel Clayton one. It was on sale on Amazon, the paperback, and I was like, I have to get this. Like, it's just so beautiful.
I know you have to have the physical ones. Like, when
Yeah.
they're that beautiful, it's, yes,
Yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
a sucker for that, but
I think the community as a whole is a sucker
totally.
for all of those things. But anyway, all right. Well, Sarah, that was really about all I had for you today. I really appreciate you coming on to chat with me. And I'll link to Frolic's site and Twitter and Instagram so people can easily find those and look for the Instagram stories and all the other content that's coming up.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. It was lovely to just spend the morning talking about all the books that I love and
Right.
frolics.
Isn't it the best way?
It was wonderful.
Thank you. All right. Well, thanks. And I'll let you know when I post it.
Okay, fantastic.
Sure.
Thanks so
Thanks.
much.
And good luck to your husband and have fun in France at Cannes.
Thank
You're
you.
welcome. All right. Bye. Romance Romp is produced by Graham Cullen and me. Our theme music is written and performed by Kelsey Luce. Stay tuned for next week's episode of Romance Romp featuring Jamie McGuire.